Greetings, and welcome to the Ember Resources 2009 third quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the call, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Doug Defoe, President and Chief Executive Officer for Ember Resources. Thank you, Mr. Defoe. You may now begin.
Yes, good morning, and welcome to Ember's third quarter conference call here. My name is Doug Defoe. I'm the President and CEO of Ember Resources, and with me this morning is Bruce Ryan, our Chief Financial Officer. As mentioned, we're going to go through some formal comments here first, just to give you an update on the quarter and what O10 is starting to shape up like. And once we're done our formal comments, then we'll open the conference call up to questions. So before we get started, I just would remind listeners to look at the go back and review the reader advisories that we put in our press release, as those comments are applicable to what we talk about today on the conference call. So to start out, I'm going to get Bruce just to give you a recap of the third quarter from the financial side, and then we'll talk a little bit about operations.
Good morning. This morning we issued a press release, and we are SEDAR filing our third quarter results, as well as an update on the equity financing that we've been working on. I'll start with the equity financing. It has the largest impact on our go-forward operations. We announced today that we agreed to the terms of a previously announced equity offering of common shares. That offering will see Ember issuing 23.53 million common shares at a price of $85 million for total gross proceeds of $20 million. Expenses of the offering are expected to be in the order of $1 million, so that will leave us with net proceeds of $19 million. Our three major shareholders that currently own 49% of the company are taking up 16.35 million common shares in that offering, which is about 69.5% of the offering. So I'll move to next to several things, additional things that are disclosed in our material, both the press release, MD&A, and financials for the quarter. We indicated where our current credit facility sits prior to the offering. We have a $102 million credit facility consisting of a $5 million working capital component and a $97 million production facility. On those facilities, at the end of the quarter, we were drawn at $97.5 million of net debt and working capital. Our working capital was pretty flat, so most of that is $97 million of that is debt. With the offering that we're doing, we have made certain commitments and are revising our credit facility. The credit facility revisions were subject to us raising the $20 million, and since we expect to close the equity financing on or about November 13th, on or about that date, our credit facility will revise to these new terms. It will be a total of a $92 million facility comprised of a $5 million working capital component that works exactly the same as it did prior to the change in the facility, and our production facility will revise downwards to an $87 million facility, which will also have the same operating features as under the previous facility. The other change to the facility is in terms of our interest rate grid. On the production facility, on amounts drawn in excess of $65 million, we will pay an incremental 100 basis points annually to those amounts that we were previously paying. And previously, our interest rate fluctuated off of a grid that was based on debt cash flow. As a result of all that, within our financial statements that we just released, we reclassed $10 million of our long-term debt into the current component. Some other notable issues in our disclosure that you're just having access to this morning. Again, we We had some information on the change in accounting policy that we adopted in Q2 relating to our change in depletion as a result of treating our costs relative to probable reserve assets in a different manner. We also updated our 2009 guidance as well as our 2010 guidance, and Doug will be speaking to that in a moment. We gave a fulsome update on our progress on IFRS. We've made good progress. We think we're in the top of the groups of companies in terms of advances towards successfully implementing IFRS, and you can see a report on that in the MD&A. We also reported on hedge instruments that we placed both during Q3 09 and subsequent to the quarter, and I'll just summarize the total hedges that we have in place now that would comprise both before September 30th and after September 30th. So we have for November of 09, 4,000 GJs placed at 473 per GJ, and then we have a composition of a number of other instruments that summarize into 12,000 GJs a day for the periods of December 1st, 09 to February 28th, 2010 at a price of 533, fixed price of 533 per GJ. We also have continued to discuss our hedging program at our board level and have agreed to prior to the end of the year to place additional hedges for the 12 to 18 month period starting in April, May of next year, and we will hedge additionally up to between 30 and 50% of our production through that 12 to 18 month period. With that, I'll move now to just some key financial highlights for the quarter. In Q3, we drilled 4.8 net wells. That brings our drilling to 12.1 net wells for the year. Pretty quiet. Total cost of $7.7 million of expenditures on capital, which would include about $2.5 million of capitalized G&A for the 9 months to date. We also had some divestitures of a couple more minor properties in Q3. For a total of $600,000 of gross proceeds, and that brings our divestiture program for 2009 to an influx of $5.7 million of capital on those dispositions. But we also, earlier in the year, completed a property acquisition for $3.2 million, which was the purchase of a 8.5% gross overriding royalty on some of our existing operated properties in the Acme area. So the net of all that for the 9 months is that we have had net expenditures of $5.2 million for the year, and we do forecast to get to net expenditures of about $12.5 million for the year, which would be net of divestitures as well. Production for the 3 months rather ended September 09, 24.5 million cubic feet a day. That brings our 9 month Q3 average, 9 month 09 average to 25.9 million a day. That production increase was significant in the 80% range for the 3 months of 09 compared to 08, reflecting our addition of Cordero Energy in the third quarter last year. Funds from operations were slightly positive at $50,000 on a per share basis. That's zero. $10.3 million of funds from operations for the 9 months, which is 20 cents a share. Net income for the 3 months was a loss of $7.3 million. For the 9 months to date, a loss of $14.6 million. I'm going to speak to individual components in a moment, and you'll see some of the reasons why. Per share amounts for the 3 months, a loss of 14 cents. For the nine-month period to date, 28 cents. Revenue was $6.6 million for the 3 months compared to $9.2 million the 3 months a year earlier, $27.2 million for the 9 months, 09, compared to $22 million a year earlier. Gas pricing, which is quite a notable component of our third quarter and our year-to-date, we averaged $2.94 an MCF for the 3 months compared to 726 a year earlier, 385 for the 9 months, 09 compared to 809 a year earlier, so in the order of a 50 to 60% drop in pricing from a year earlier. I should note that September's pricing was about 305, is what we received. October's pricing, ACO average is 422, and you should note that our price that we receive is almost exactly ACO per MCF. Currently, spot ACO spot prices are running around 450 an MCF. A dollar per MCF increase in gas price gives us about $750,000 of incremental gross revenue per month. So what's important there is we had pretty much break-even cash flow in the third quarter off $2.94 in MCF gas prices, and now we're firmly above that in the over $4 range. So it means that we're going to start to be generating monthly cash flow, and hopefully with some additional increases in our hedging program, we can continue to add to that that cash flow increase and therefore our capital program. On the royalty side, I think I'll just summarize by stating where our royalties are now and where we expect them to be for the near future. Our crown rate is running at about 2%, and that's net of gas cost allowance recoveries for the capital that's deployed, as well as custom processing fees that are paid on the gas. Freehold royalties are running at about 5% of revenue. So in the aggregate, our royalties are 7%. So very much part of our very low cost structure. So 93 cents of every dollar of increase in gas prices is going to our bottom line cash flow. On the OPEX side, we're pretty happy with our rate. Our year-to-date 9 month rate is about $8.18 per BOE. Our target for the year is $8, so we're on track to, we think, to achieve that. In MCFs for the 3 months, $1.54, the 9 months, $1.36, comparing to the same months last year, $1.58 and $1.71. That gives us operating netbacks at the field level for the 3 month period of 09 of $1.01 per MCF, which is so $6 a BOE, almost all affected by declining gas prices, compared to $4.54 per MCF a year, 3 months a year earlier, $2.37 for the 9 months 09, compared to $5.32 in MCF same period a year earlier. Interest expenses running at $1.4 million for the 3 months, $3.4 year to date, considerably higher than last year. The main effect there is the Cordero transaction. We took on a lot more debt, and the announcement earlier of the equity in our revisions to our credit facility is an effort to address that. Overall, our interest rates for the 3 months 09 was running at 5.6%, 4.7% for the 9 months. A year earlier, for the 3 months, 4.4% and 5.1 for the 9%. So, or for the 9 months 08 rather. So, our rates have been coming up since we revised our renewed our facility in April, with the financial market difficulties, liquidity issues, interest rates have been creeping up, and that has affected our cost of financing. Currently, we expect our overall cost of financing to be in the 6 to 6.5 range on the percent range on the debt on the debt side, and that does factor in the credit facility revision to interest rates that I announced earlier in my discussion. On the G&A side, $900,000 of expenses in the 3 months compared to $3 million a year earlier. For the 9 months, for the $3 million for the 9 months 09. The 9 months 08 a year earlier, we had $1.5 million of expenses. I think what's key here is the efficiencies that we've achieved through the acquisition of Cordero and their reducing cost structures on a per BOE basis. Our G&A for the 3 months was $234. For the 9 months to date, $254. Our target for the year is $250, so that's within striking distance, and we think we'll achieve that. And so, in summary, I've kind of noted three main parts to our cost structure that we think are, if not top quartile, very close to top quartile, makes us a very low-cost producer, and that is our low royalty rate, which is running at about 7%, our low operating costs, which are running around $8 a BOE, and our low G&A, which is running around $2.50 a BOE, and that's why we can go through a extremely low gas price quarter and still generate, or almost generate, slightly positive cash flow. And those are my prepared comments, and I'll turn it back to Doug. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Excuse me. So clearly, from a financial perspective, the last couple of quarters have not been particularly robust for natural gas producers in general and Ember specifically. But I do think that the silver lining here is the performance of our underlying production base. And when we talk about that, of course, we're talking about the Horseshoe Canyon CBM production base. Just a couple of highlights on that. If you look at, sort of as we mentioned, we've averaged about $24.5 million a day in the third quarter. If we go back to the first quarter of 2009, we averaged about $27.1 million a day. So when you look at that decline over those three quarters, you have to take into consideration that we sold about 1 million cubic feet of gas per day. So very, very low decline rate with minimal amounts of drilling. I think it works out to be about 6% over that time period. And again, that reflects the stability and the long-term nature of this asset base in the Horseshoe Canyon. We only drilled 12 net wells to offset those declines. And so I think if you took that out overall, we would expect our corporate decline rate to be sort of in that 15% range. When we're not as active drilling, obviously we do spend more time on that production base, and the guys have done a number of things to continue to improve that and to make us more efficient on that. And I think that those efforts and what we've learned as we've integrated the Cordero assets into our asset base will be very valuable for us when we get back to more busier times. So when we talk about busier times, I think that obviously the equity raise for us was key in two areas. One, we wanted to address our balance sheet leverage. Being so exposed to gas prices, obviously that also has a big impact on our leverage on the balance sheet. But we wanted to make significant reductions, or at least a meaningful reduction in our debt position. We've done that. The other goal of that equity raise was to help kickstart our production going into what we believe to be a better gas price environment into 2010. I think still a little bit of caution in terms of when that happens, in terms of pricing, but you know, we feel that longer term gas prices really need to be in sort of that $6 to $8 gas range, price range, to generate enough activity here in North America to keep supply equal to demand once all of those things sort of rebalance themselves out. So with that in mind, our view was we're just under the $6 mark here right now, and when we look at 2010, maybe $6 is the kind of was the strip here a bit ago. So in that environment, we think that certainly our projects are very, very economic because of our low cost base and our low cost to add reserves, that it was appropriate to start to ramp up production here as we go into the fourth quarter. So with the other half of those proceeds, we intend to do that. We've got two fairly aggressive drilling programs here that'll start in the fourth quarter in about a week or two. We're going to be out into the field with a couple rigs. Our plan here in Q4 is to drill about 20-22 net wells That'll be split between Acme, about 14 of those wells at Acme, and 8 of them will be in the Bashaw area. We're going to have a couple rigs running there, one in each area, and then finish it off with the two rigs when one finishes from Bashaw, we'll come down to Acme and help finish that program off. So what that means, if we can kick off here in about a week or so, we would hope to be able to have the bulk of this production tied in within the next 6 weeks or so, and that will be the first tranche that will come on stream and start to see some increases in production. We are going to use a little bit of new technology here in the Bashaw area. We're going to try some drilling with casing, and we think that is a technology that will allow us to continue to reduce our costs from our existing base. So we'll see how that works, and if successful, then we've got a way to continue to reduce our overall cost to add new reserves. Moving into the second part of that program, then into the first quarter, again, very, very active, another 20 odd wells to be drilled there. A similar split, about 10 of them will be drilled in the Bashaw area, and about another 10 or 12 or so drilled in the Acme area. So those two programs are pretty much set, and the logistics for those are just being finalized. And as I said, we should, the second program for Q1 will start up right after the new year. And again, hopefully have that all on stream by the end of the first quarter. So when we look out from where we're at today, as I said, just average 24.5 current production, so around the 24 million a day mark. With these additions, we should be adding 5 to 6 million a day over this next period here from this drilling program. And, with a couple of million a day of production decline, we should see ourselves sort of in that 27 million a day range or so when we get out into breakup, which from today's level is still a fairly nice little kick to our production base. And then from there, continue on in a full-year program, continuing to drill. Bruce did mention a little bit about some hedging strategies that we've started. We're thinking longer term. There is clearly there's some different dynamics in the marketplace. It's not just about the recession. I think we also have to consider the impact of high deliverability shale wells into the North American market. And so what we'll be looking for in that hedging program on a longer term basis is more defining a range of prices in which we feel comfortable operating on. So on the short term, we did do some straight swaps through the winter just to basically ensure that the drilling program that we've just mentioned is supported by pricing. But on the longer term, I think you'll see us looking more to defining a range of prices that we want to work in with our hedging programs. So when we look at 2010 in total, then we're going to accelerate a little bit here in the first quarter, but then typically for us, second quarter isn't all that active. It's wet. We like it to be dry. Our cost efficiencies work best in rig moves and so on and so forth, so we tend not to to get to work during the what would typically be a sort of a rainy post-breakup type time period. So it tends to be a little bit back-end weighted in terms of our activity starting up in the third quarter and then finishing off in the fourth quarter. So we when we look at 2010 at a $6 gas price, that gives us about a $30 million cash flow for the year. And so we can drill upwards of 60 to 65 net wells with that. And so we've got a program set out to do that. As I said, it'll be loaded up a little bit on the front end in Q1 and then loaded up off the back end in Q3 and Q4 with about 35 of those 60-odd wells drilled in those last two quarters. Most of this activity will be in the Bashaw region and also the Acme region at this time. So in total, the capital spent in 2010 will be about the equivalent of that cash flow, about $30 million. And we think we're going to average somewhere around 26, 27 million a day. From that, clearly if we're at 27 by breakup, it should be at the higher end of that range, with an exit rate of somewhere in the 29 to 30 million a day range. One of the beauties of, again, drilling this asset base is that we are fairly comfortable in terms of predictability of this. I mean, we'll be within a million a day or so of whatever these numbers that we're looking at, simply because the predictability of these assets and the consistency of their performance. Certainly it has been difficult the last few quarters for us and for gas companies in general, but we do see a rebalancing going on in the gas market. It may not be completely there yet, but we think over time that will continue to improve, both with the return of some demand, some industrial demand in the U.S. market, as well as continuing declines that we see on the supply side, specifically here in Canada. Canadian gas production is down a significant amount. One of the things that we think will start to be demonstrated in the new year is when you look at, we've talked lots about our royalties, but I don't think that it's something that's really understood clearly, because last year the Alberta government made their changes to the royalty program effective 2009, and it would coincide really with the collapse in gas prices. And so those new royalty formulas are very much productivity and price driven, and at the lower prices, we really haven't seen the implications of those royalties on gas producers reporting. But once gas prices do return to that more normal level, if we define that as being $6 to $8 gas prices, then you'll see the competitive advantage that, again, these assets have over a conventional asset base. We believe that on a crown royalty basis, our gains between our wells, which are typically 100 MCF a day type productivity wells, versus more conventional wells or even unconventional wells that have higher levels of productivity, and when I say higher, that's not much, that's about 500 MCF a day. The competitive advantage we have in that price range is anywhere from $11 to $17 per BOE, which in most cases equals people's cash costs. So we think that that'll be demonstrated in a more robust gas price environment, together with the consistency and the low decline rate of these assets, and we believe that that it'll be very, very positive performance of the company into 2010. So that's it for our prepared comments, and we'll just turn it over to any questions you might have.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For those participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. Mr. Defoe and Mr. Ryan, there are no questions at this time.
Okay, well, that's great. And again, thanks for joining us this morning. And for those of you listening on the web, also thanks for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and we appreciate your participation. Have a wonderful day.